We have the privilege of having our brother with us, Brother Korn, to speak at us this morning and next Sunday, and each of these nights. We need to come every night we can to pray for, is that right? And to see God save souls. There's nothing like it. Pray, be here as much as you can, and jump in line to lead somebody to Christ. It will change your life. And even though you'll be scared to death, it'll change your life. Do it, do it. Brother, come and minister to us. We love having you and your dear family, your growing dear family. That's right.
Well, good morning. I tell you, quite a privilege to be with y'all here for these couple weeks here. We've been praying much as well, and I tell you, I'm so thankful for a pastor and a church congregation that work hard to go after souls. I can tell you, we've been in 267 schools in 23 states, and no church has made more of an effort to make more of an impact with the ministry that God's called us to than your church, by far. And so thank you for the work that you put in, Pastor. 13 schools is a lot, but boy, I'm so thankful. Sometimes we only get one. Last week, we didn't have any, actually. The Lord still brought 180 visitors, so we were thankful. And we had people saved, but I'm just so thankful for a church that works hard, and I love the organization of it. It's really good. We're so happy to be here. A little update on my family. We have a 4-year-old son named Carson, if you remember. He was born just before the first time we came here, and he almost died at birth, and he has special needs. We had a huge miracle Thursday night. Thursday night, we got these machines to teach him to, he doesn't walk, crawl, or talk yet. We have a little thing called a creepster, which is supposed to teach him to crawl, and we were just hoping he would not hate it. A lot of times, you strap him into those things, and he hates it. In fact, even the therapist tried to put him in, and he hated it. So we tried it really for the first time Thursday night, and not only did he not hate it, he enjoyed it, and he actually started crawling a little bit. That was huge, huge for us. If you remember him and his story, huge answer to prayer for 4 years of praying for that, and he still has a long ways to go, but great progress. Also, we got another machine that's a walker that teaches, teaches him how to walk and helps him out with that. And again, he actually liked that even more than the other one. And so he was even moving his feet back and forth, putting a little weight on it. And all of that is really miraculous for him. He's really never done anything like that. And so if you've been praying for him, thank you for that. We really appreciate it. We also have a daughter named Addison. She's 2. And Addie is at a really fun stage. You'll probably see here tonight in this show, Lord willing. And so excited about that. And then a little boy on the way due in December. So if you couldn't tell, we have one on the way. And so we're thankful for that, which does change things for the show. But we're going to be in Matthew chapter 5 this morning. Matthew chapter 5. And I was thinking about something my pastor told me when I was talking to him about the whole idea of using illusions to get the gospel out. And he said, you know, a wise fisherman changes the bait to catch the fish. And Jesus said we're supposed to be fishers of men. And so obviously my tricks can't save anyone. They really can't change anyone's life. They're just a tool. And a tool that we believe God has used. And we believe that God is going to use it this week. We really do. But the tool can't save. Jesus is the one who does the saving. And so I'm excited for the opportunity though. Matthew chapter 5 verse 16. And I like expositional, but this morning the Lord keeps leading me to have a little bit of a topic. Thought here this morning. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is preaching here. In verse number 16, he makes this statement that I'm sure we're familiar with here. Matthew 5, and verse, is it customary that we stand for the reading of the word? Would you mind standing for as we read this verse? Just not in honor of me, of course, but in honor of the word of God. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, the Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Lord, help us. Lord, help us these next couple weeks especially to let our light shine for you, to glorify your name. We need you, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Thank you for standing. So we know that God wants us to let our light shine, but that's not all that Jesus says here. Jesus says, let your light shine. so shy. Not just so shy, but so shy that there's a specific result. Jesus says, let your light so shine before men. Who are the men there? Well, it's the people that don't know Christ, the unsaved. Let your light, so it could include Christians, but specifically the unsaved. Let your light so shine before men that they, who's that? The lost people, that they may see your good works, that they will glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Wow, what a challenge. You know, we're supposed to, as believers, let our good works, let our light, our testimony for God shine in such a way that people that aren't even saved looked at your life and say, wow, I don't even believe all that, but man, praise the Lord. That they glorify God because of your light. This morning, I want to speak to you on this subject, getting into people's lives for the Lord. You ever gotten into something you shouldn't have? I love water sports. I really do. And I remember as a kid, I learned to go water skiing, and I really loved it. In fact, just this summer, a friend of mine actually taught me to do the slalom thing, to ski on. I didn't think I could do it. He taught me, and I'm not that great at it, but the one thing I did attempt a few years back was wakeboarding. Has anyone tried wakeboarding in the past? Okay, all right. See, you have wisdom in this room, I can tell. I remember my friend was trying to talk me into it, and so he brought his wakeboard there, and he's like, you know, here's what you do. And so as he coached me through it, you know, I hold on to the rope, you know, and the boat's in front of me, and I got my knee strapped down. I give him the thumbs up, and it was amazing. From the moment I gave him the thumbs up to the moment I was back head first into the water, it was less than 2 seconds. I mean, like, what just happened, you know? And so, okay, I'm not a quitter. I'm going to try this again. And so I remember I can get into this. And so I remember I grabbed onto it, and he's like, you know, keep your weight back, you know. And so I gave him a thumbs up. And this time, you see, when you're doing a wakeboard, when you ski, if you fall when you ski, you know, the skis will go flying, you know, you fall. It kind of hurts, but it's not too bad. When you're wakeboarding, your legs are attached to this board. So your legs don't go flying. They're already there. So the first thing that hits the water is your face. And so the second time I did it, not only did my face hit the water so hard that water went up my eyelids. I retired. All right. I'm not getting into that anymore. It's too painful. All right. I'm allergic to pain, so I'm not doing that. And you ever gotten into something you shouldn't have? Well, that's something that I've never tempted again, in fact. But I tell you, this phrase, maybe it sounds weird, but I like the idea, because we think of this. We think, you know, the world needs Christ. You know, America needs Christ. Elkhart needs Christ. All those things are true, but what does that mean? What that means is that you and I need to get into their lives for the Lord. We can't just talk at people. We need to talk to people. We need to win people and reach people and do what we can to get into their lives with the things of God. And this morning, that's my only point this morning. I just want to tell you different ways how. Scripturally, what are different ways that you and I can get into someone else's life for the Lord? Number one, your testimony. At least one thing your light includes is your testimony. Carmen Douglas was an incredible Christian lady. She didn't have a fancy position, not a flashy personality per se, but just a godly, godly lady. Well, as Francis watched Carmen's life, Francis said this. Francis wasn't even saved, but Francis said that Carmen was the most godly lady she'd ever met. They were neighbors. And just like any godly neighbor would, she eventually invited Francis to church. Well, Francis went to her church, visited her church solely for the purpose of the testimony that Carmen Douglas had. Well, after a few weeks of visiting the church, Francis got saved. Isn't that amazing? The testimony of Carmen Douglas, this lady gets saved. Well, Francis eventually got her husband to join her at the church. After a while, him visiting, he got saved. Now, a husband and wife saved, God using the testimony of Carmen Douglas. Well, they had a daughter and a son, and as they began to grow up, the daughter got saved. And after a while, the son got saved. Now, a whole family changed from a godly lady's testimony. Well, they began to grow up. Those kids began to grow up and had children of their own. The daughter had a boy and a girl. Eventually, they got saved. The son had two boys of his own. The older boy got saved. Now that older boy is married, and he and his wife are saved. His two kids, two of his kids are saved. And then the other son was me. That's the testimony of my family. My grandmother Frances. My family wasn't saved. My grandma and grandpa didn't know Christ. But they watched the testimony of Carmen Douglas. I am so thankful. I hardly remember her, but I'm so thankful for Carmen Douglas because through her testimony, think of it. My grandparents, my parents, even my the other set of grandparents I have got saved through this. My brother, his kids, my cousins. The generations, four generations affected from one lady's testimony. Even if God happens to save people this week, which I believe He will, even that is going to be fruit all the way back to the account of Carmen Douglas. Your testimony is a powerful tool to get into people's lives for the Lord. Let your light so shine. Number two, would you look at Philippians chapter 2, please? This chapter is quite a chapter on just the humility of Christ and just how He is so focused on others and not on Himself. And Philippians chapter 2, verse 4, the Bible says, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." And then it goes on to explain how Jesus did that very thing. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant. It was made in the likeness of men." Here Jesus left the throne of heaven, didn't come to this earth as a king, didn't come to this earth really as a commoner. The Bible says here he came as a servant. Man, what a mindset he had. What mind did Jesus have? Philippians 2 verse 4, here's the mind he had. "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." You know how you get into people's lives for the Lord? Number two, your thoughtfulness. Your thoughtfulness. Well, if you know anything about your pastor, you know your pastor is a thoughtful man. He is. He's not only concerned about himself. He's concerned about y'all. He's concerned about the members of the church here. And he works hard at it. And he does his best to love the people in this church. Why? That's the mind that Christ has. And when people, that mind of thoughtfulness really makes an impact in people's lives. You know, you've heard the statement, people don't care what you say, they care what you do, how you treat them. It's one thing and how you believe, but boy, when you make an impact in someone else's life. You know, in John 13:35, Jesus says, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, by the clothes you wear at church." No. God's concerned about the outward. He is. But the Bible says this is how. "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if ye have love one toward another." That loving thoughtfulness that you have towards other people, that's how they know you serve Christ. And that's what can make a difference in their lives. Think about it. There was a thoughtful person in your life that you saw the love of Christ in them. You saw that Jesus was real in their life. And eventually, you came to Christ because of God using their thoughtfulness. Well, I hope that this week, as we do the cookie thing, as we do the different ministries, that we won't forget people. Sometimes we're tempted to see the big picture in the organization, but we forget about the people. We must be thoughtful to the people to get into their lives. Number three, would you look at Psalm 126? This is quite a promise here in Psalm 126. In fact, I believe that there's someone here this morning that need to hold on to these two verses especially and just hold on to these and believe these scriptures here, because I believe this can make an amazing difference into you being able to get into someone else's life. Psalm 126, verse number 5, listen to this promise. Psalm 126, verse 5, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." That's an amazing statement. That's a promise of God. When we sow in tears, we shall reap in joy. That's why I believe we can go forward with an outreach with confidence. Why? Because don't you realize that God wants them to be saved more than we do? And don't we want them to be saved? Don't we want to reach the... We do, but I believe God wants them to be saved more than we do. And there's a promise that they that sow, so there's work involved, that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Verse 6 says it even stronger. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I like that word doubtless. That word doubtless is like a huge exclamation mark. If that word wasn't in the verse, it would still be a promise. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall come again with rejoicing, bring his sheaves with him. But the word is there. He says doubtless. Shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. It is going to happen. The question is this. How do you get into people's lives? Number 3, your tears. Your tears. You see, the key in those two verses, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. We know the precious seed is the word of God, specifically this week, the gospel. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. You see, there is something about the tears of God's people that moves the heart of God. You know that there's no formula to see people saved. Okay, do this, say this, boom, they'll get saved. No, it takes the power of God. That's what it takes. But do you realize that there's something about the tears of God's people that moves God and moves the heart of God and brings the power of God? He that goeth forth and weepeth. You've probably heard this story, the founder of the Salvation Army, William Booth. In the early days of the Salvation Army, it was a very evangelistic program. And boy, they were just seeing a lot of people come to Christ. Mr. Booth there was you know, doing the things to reach out to the community and giving the gospel. And they were seeing many people get saved. Well, there are some people there that had watched the program and said, man, this is so amazing. We're going to try to duplicate this in another town. So they did. They went to other towns there and they began doing the same thing, the same exact methods of getting a crowd and same exact, in fact, in some cases, they're even preaching the same exact messages. But they were getting very discouraged because they said, man, over there where Mr. Booth is, all this is happening, but over here, nothing's happening. We're not seeing anybody saved. We're not seeing, nothing's working. And so they're very discouraged, and they sent a telegram to Mr. Booth, and they said this: we've tried everything. We've tried preaching on street corners, beating drums, passing out tracts, and nothing works. Mr. Booth sent back a simple telegram with two words: try tears. Try tears. You see, there's no formula. There's nothing that we can many. This is not a work that we can do. We can't do it. The Bible says, my flesh profiteth nothing. There's nothing that David Korn can do this week to make an eternal difference. We need the power of God. And there's something about the tears of God's people. Look at Psalm 56. If you're not quite believing this, Psalm 56, David is talking to the Lord here. And he makes an amazing statement here. I know I don't have time to go into all this, but hope you'll see my point. Psalm 56, verse number 8, he says, thou tellest my wanderings. David's talking to God. David says, thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? In other words, David is telling us that God records our tears. See, God's a personal God. And there is just something about... I wonder, when's the last time you thought about the lost people in this city and it broke your heart? I mean, it broke your heart so much that you wept. When's the last time you thought about those people that you see every day driving past you on your street, that you see every day at work, and you thought, man, so many of these people don't know Christ. So many of these people are going to hell. And boy, the reality of hell struck you and you thought about their soul and it broke your heart. I tell you, I believe that if we had a revival in America with just the tears of God's people, what a difference that could be made for Christ. The tears of God's people move the heart of God. Maybe this week, as you're praying for souls, maybe you'll ask God to break your heart again. Say, Lord, help me not to have this hard heart. Help me not just to go through and say, well, you know, some people accept, some people don't. No, Lord, help it to break my heart. Because I believe that God's power responds. I can't explain that, but I just believe God's power responds to people who weep. Number four, not only does it take your tears, it also takes your time. You gotta have. It's a busy week for y'all. It's a busy week normally, I'm sure, but this week's even extra on top of that. But you know what it takes to get into people's lives? It takes time. In fact, I encourage you, carve out time to do that. Carve out time this week. So I'm going to set aside this time to go talk to him. I'm going to set aside this time to go invite them. I hope if you're considering leading someone to Christ this week, being a part of that group, well, I hope you'll carve out time. My wife plans to be a part of that. Maybe if you say, I've never done that, man, a couple of you, sit in with Joy. Watch how she does it. Because I encourage you, I can do that. I can ask those questions. I can show them those verses. I can read through the track with them. But boy, I tell you, it takes time. Carve out time for the most important thing. In Luke chapter 8, it's a very busy chapter in the life of Christ, and Jesus is traveling around. At one point, Jairus comes to Jesus, and he says, hey, Jesus, my daughter, she's on her deathbed. Jesus, come and heal my daughter. And Jesus does, as he starts to go there, all of a sudden he stops. He says, wait, who touched me? You know, the disciples like, what do you mean, Jesus? Everyone touched you. There's a huge crowd here. Everyone touched you. He said, no, someone touched me. And you remember, it was the girl with the issue of blood, and she was healed. And I believe she also got saved at that moment. And the amazing thing about that is I think about Jesus. He was literally in a life and death situation. Yet Jesus stopped everything to take the time for that girl. I think so often we just rush through our lives, don't we? Checking off the things to do, making sure we get through. Well, we need to stop. We need to stop and take time for people, because it doesn't just happen automatically. You got to invest in people. You got to make the effort. Someone took time to invest in your life, the things of God. Well, we ought to do the same for others. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:16, redeeming the time. That word redeeming is the idea of to buy back, the idea to rescue from loss. It's so easy just to lose and to waste time, but we need to redeem it. We need to rescue that time from loss and invest it into the things that are the most important, getting into people's lives for the Lord. As I continue this morning, would you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1? A little bit of a topical Bible study this morning, but I hope this is helpful. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul talking to the church of Corinth here, and he's talking about how he behaved when they were among them. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 12, he says, for our rejoicing is this. Hey guys, as he's preaching, teaching this church, he says, church, this is what we get excited about. We're really encouraged. We rejoice over this fact. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience. Well, we didn't just have an outward testimony that was good. Our conscience has a good testimony, because this is what we did. That in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to youward. Don't have time to break down that verse, but here's what I want to point out. Here's what Paul said. This is how we behaved among you. Verse 12, in simplicity and godly sincerity. You know what makes a difference in the lives of people who are lost? Godly sincerity. I wrote it like this. Number 5, your transparency. You see, Satan will say, oh, you know, because of your past, you could never witness to your old friends. You know, because of this situation, you could never have the testimony that you have. The opposite is true. But when we just are sincere, when we just have that godly sincerity about our lives, as we look at what we're doing, people can tell. People can, hey, you know what? You guys know how I used to be. You guys know how I used to curse, how we used to do all kinds of things. But you know, God has changed my life. And the same Jesus that changed my life wants to change your life as well. But see, we don't have to pretend like we're someone we're not. want you to have that godly sincerity, that transparency. There would be rare occasions growing up that perhaps my dad's not a preacher, but he and my mom love the Lord, great parents, love my mom and dad. But there'd be times occasionally that my dad maybe lose his temper. And you know, when a thing happens like that, it's not like it's a secret. You know what I'm saying? Everyone knows in the family. The wife knows, the kids, they know, okay? Dad, you're not hiding it, all right? And I remember we had in this living room, we had these big three windows and this ugly green couch. I mean, that thing was disgusting. It was one of those things, you tried to put a blanket on it, but it wasn't helping. You know what I'm saying? It was a gift from a relative was what it was. You know, you felt bad getting rid of it. So this ugly green couch, and I remember there'd be times my dad would say, Patty, have a seat. My mom, my brother, Casey, have a seat. David, have a seat. You know, a little bit ago, I completely lost it. I completely lost my temper. I acted against everything I believe, and I don't have an excuse except to say I'm sorry. Patty, will you forgive me? Casey, will you forgive me? Dave, will you forgive me? Well, a real man wouldn't apologize. That may be John Wayne theology, but it's not Bible. It's not Bible. But we knew that there was sin. And when I saw my dad just with that godly sincerity, not putting up any walls, not trying to pretend, but just admitting, hey, what I did was wrong. I sinned against you. I have no excuse. And I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Seeing that transparency in my dad helped me to know that, hey, that Christianity is real. That's not just something on Sundays. That's not just something at the church. That is real Christianity. My dad's godly sincerity helped me to show that this Christianity thing is real. Maybe there's someone that you need to be transparent with. Maybe there's someone even today, you need to pick up the phone and call and say, you know what? Maybe there's some children you need to call and say, you know, I need to apologize for some things. There's some things in the past that I need to say, you know, I have no excuse except to say, please forgive me. Maybe someone's waiting for you to be sincere, to actually be genuine about your walk with the Lord. Because your transparency, man, that can make a huge difference in the people's lives. Two more things and I'll be finished this morning. Luke chapter 5, please. I'd like you to look at this one. Luke chapter 5, this is the story where the four men brought the guy that was sick of the palsy to Jesus. A guy was sick of the palsy. He had this physical ailment. He couldn't walk and he was also unsaved, I believe. And so his four friends said, man, if we could just get him to Jesus, if he could just get close to Jesus and meet Jesus, Jesus could change everything for him. That is the truth. And so they went to the house, and the house was packed with people. You remember? It was so packed they couldn't come into the door. It was so packed they couldn't even come to the window. And so they did something unconventional, right? Like an unconventional magic show, right? They did something unconventional. They went to the roof. And so they went to the roof, and as Jesus speaks to the people in the house, all of a sudden, so I'm sure some flakes started coming out from the roof, and some dust started coming, and all of a sudden some hands started ripping apart a hole in this roof. And before long, here comes this guy being lowered down through the roof into the midst before Jesus. Luke chapter 5, listen to what the scripture says. Verse number 19, and when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. Verse 20, and when he saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. I believe that day that man got saved. I believe that man also got healed that day. But listen to what Jesus says. Is this what he says? Did Jesus say this? And when he saw his faith, he said unto him, man, that's actually not what it says. It says, and when he saw their faith. The pronouns are very important in Scripture. When he saw, wait, their faith, that's plural. Whose faith? Their faith. And when he, that's Jesus, saw their faith, he, that's Jesus, said unto him, man, thy sins be forgiven thee. Obviously, this man had to place his faith, but the scripture is emphasizing here, there's some other people's faith that was at work that made a difference. when he saw their faith. Do you realize the faith of those four friends that said, man, we're just going to do everything we can. We just believe Jesus can change his life. We just believe Jesus can make a difference. We just believe this, and we're going to do everything we can to see if Jesus will do this. And Jesus says, those guys' faith was part of the reason why this person got saved. So you know what makes a difference into getting to people's lives? Number six, your trust in Christ. My question for you this morning is this: who have you given up on? Well, they are never, there is no way they would ever get saved. Don't you believe God can do that? That's not hard for the Lord. In fact, some of those impossible cases, man, those are the types of cases that can bring God the most glory. Man, Jesus can easily change their life. Jesus can easily save them. Who have you given up on? Your faith. And you know, part of working for an event like this, we can't guarantee God will work, but we just believe. We believe God's in this. We believe God's opened the doors. We believe that God wants to see people saved. We believe that there's still power in the gospel. We believe there's power in the preaching of the gospel. For the foolish, God has chosen the foolishness of the preaching. And God works, and we're just going to try to act on our faith because our faith makes a difference in getting into people's lives. Maybe there's someone this morning you need to pray about. And maybe this morning you need to confess some doubt to the Lord. Say, Lord, forgive my doubt. My spouse has not been saved, and Lord, I even when I pray, I don't even believe what I'm praying. Lord, give me believing prayer. Give me prayer, a prayer of faith for this person who's not saved. Lord, you've got to do it. It's impossible, but Lord, I believe that you're the God of the impossible. For with God, nothing is impossible. Your faith, your trust in Christ. And finally, number seven, and this is simple. This verse was referenced earlier, that famous, excellent missions verse, Acts chapter 1, and verse number 8. Here's what the Bible says this: but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. You know the important, our role in this, and ye shall be witnesses. What does a witness do? Tells what he saw. Tells what happened to him. Tells what he observed. You are not going to get into people's lives unless, number seven, you talk. You say, why do you say that, Dave? Because I'm a shy person. You may not believe that, but it takes a lot of work. It's intentional for me when I witness. It's intentional for me when I preach. What helps you get out of yourself? Seeing the need. Well, this person's on their way to hell. I need to talk to them. If I don't talk to them, who will? If you don't talk to them, who will? Man, God has put you along their path. God has brought the situation. And if you don't open your mouths and talk, if you don't at least try to share the gospel, there's power in the gospel, you've got to present it. They've got to hear it. We must talk to people about Christ. You see, some people say, well, you know, I just live like that testimony story. I just live the testimony and wait till they come ask me. Okay, you should do that. But let me ask you, how many people are banging down your door and asking you? It happens. But friend, we don't have time to wait. We don't have time to wait that long. There's so much need out there that we've got to go talk to people. We don't have to be mean, but boy, we should be bold. Don't we have the truth? Don't we have the thing that rescues people from hell? Don't we have that precious seed of the Word of God? We've got to share it with people. We've got to talk to people. Boy, these next 9 days, it is an easy way. It is an easy way to get people to the church, and specifically under the sound of the gospel. But we must be people who talk to others. God, help us to do what we can to get into people's lives for the Lord. Maybe you're here this morning, and if you're to be honest, you could say, you know, I've seen these seven things in the lives of others. And boy, that's making a difference in my life. And you know what? I've seen that Christianity is real in my grandmother's life, or my neighbor's life, or that friend's life. And you know what? It's time. It's time for me to receive Christ as my Savior. Perhaps there's someone here on the main floor, even someone in the balcony that would say, David, I've never been saved. If I were to die right now, I don't know that I'd go to heaven. As far as I know, I'd go to hell because I know I'm a sinner. And boy, I need Jesus to save me. Friend, if that is you, boy, let the love of Christ shine in your heart. Let the hope that is in Jesus change your life. And if you're here this morning, you need to be saved. In just a moment, we're going to give you a perfect opportunity for you to receive Christ. And I hope that you'll make the greatest decision you could ever make. Let's stand to our feet this morning, please. If you'd stand to your feet with your eyes closed a moment as the musicians make their way for the invitation this morning. If you would stand with your eyes closed for a moment. Is there someone here this morning that would say this? Brother Davis, you talked this morning about getting into people's lives, but God convicted my heart about an area I need to work on. God spoke to my heart. Maybe it's about tears. Maybe it's about time. Maybe it's about your trust. I don't know what it is, but maybe someone this morning would say this. But as you preached about getting into people's lives, God specifically spoke to my heart about an area. With your eyes closed, if that's you, would you raise your hand?
Let's close our eyes. Close in prayer. Father, we ask this week that you would do two things in our hearts. One, that you would remind us of who we were before Jesus called us. Racing towards condemnation, embodying darkness, in slavery to our flesh, owned by your enemy, Satan, serving him, destined to be separate from you forever. And the second thing we ask is that with that reminder, with that context, remembering who we were, you would give us gospel vision like we've never had it before. That we would love and appreciate and be so thankful to Jesus that we would just want everyone to know Jesus as well. I'm afraid in our hearts, evangelism becomes one of those things that is just nice and good to do. We all need to know we need to do it better. We all need to know, all know we need to do it more. And yet all the while, we don't do it more. We're sinfully content to just enjoy the benefits of Jesus without talking about him to those who do not have him. So Father, this week, break us of our sin that blinds us from seeing people as souls who will spend somewhere eternally. We thank you and we praise you that this week, people whom you have marked for yourself from Elkhart, Indiana, will receive Jesus as their Savior. And we will give you the glory that is due your name for it. Work through your people this week and be praised in what we do. These things we ask in our Redeemer's name. Amen.